What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, AEW NXT review time. Man, these were two really awesome shows. Jesus, these were awesome shows. I'm going to start off with AEW because that's what I started off watching. And one of the things that I loved right out of the gate, FTR, The Elite, they were in the ring. They were waiting. So were Dark Order. All 10 of these guys were just waiting, ready for action. And within like a minute, minute and a half, you got action. That was outstanding. This 10-man tag ruled so much ass that it was unbelievable. There weren't too many spots that made me stop and go, eh, okay. This was a very cohesive, good match. Some really good hot tags. Hangman Page looked every bit of a star. And one of my favorite parts about this is that the Dark Order won. Now, here's the thing. Brody Lee got a gigantic win pinning Hangman Page. They very easily could have pinned one of the Bucks, or they could have pinned, or one of FTR, quite frankly. Actually, it was a 12-man tag, not a 10-man tag. But they could have pinned any of them, and I would have been just like, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But Hangman Page is one of the top guys in this company. One of the tip-top guys in this company. And he ends up eating the pin after a hellacious clothesline from Brody Lee. And quite frankly, I don't like that finish for Brody Lee. I think that he could do something a little bit better. I've said it a million times. But this is a big win for Brody Lee. And what this does is it advances a lot of things. You get the Dark Order getting, I mean, it makes more sense for the followers to follow him. When he's pinning five of the six of the biggest stars in the company, he's beating them. Well, you know, that's Allen Angels, that's Stu Grayson, that's Evil Uno, that's Number Nine, that's Colt Cabana, all getting a big win. Meanwhile, it gets FTR, The Elite, a loss. And to be honest with you, Hangman Page doesn't go down a notch in this book, in my book. Instead, what it does is it brings Brody Lee up. That's the benefit of AEW's booking and how well they have generally booked people and how strong they book people. They make Hangman Page so strong, and they make the records matter, and they make recent wins matter so much that when I see him lose, I'm not like, oh man, Hangman Page's momentum is all lost. They constructed the match where it's like, okay, he got caught. He got caught with a big fucking clothesline, and he got pinned as a result. Let's see how he follows it up. I'm loving the way that AEW keeps people strong. And I mean, you know, I'm a stickler for records in MMA and wrestling and all that stuff. And you don't have to stay strict to it. But damn, this was good. This was just good booking. Santana and Ortiz take on Best Friends. This was a little slow-paced for my liking, but it was a fine match. It wasn't one that's going to blow me away or anything like that, but Best Friends end up winning when Trent shocks Ortiz with a roll-up. Again, fine match, just a little bit slow-paced. But the story was after the match. So Chuck and Trent drive around Trent's mom's van. That's the gimmick. And Santana and Ortiz destroy it. They spray paint it. They beat it with a sledgehammer and all kinds of stuff. Now, I'm going to get some flack from some people that's like, oh, you're justifying this? Yeah, I am, man. Like, they're feuding over Trent's mom's van. And the promo delivery was not great from Chuck and Trent. But it's so ridiculous that I like it. Like, that's the thing. Like, the stakes here. Oh, Jesus. This seemed like stakes they would add to Talking Shop-a-mania. But it works with Chuck and Trent. I don't know if it works for Santana and Ortiz. Because Santana and Ortiz, I get the feeling, were really trying to piss them off. And they did. But Trent's like, you do whatever you want to us, but you leave my mom's van alone. And whenever we beat you, you are going to call and apologize to my mom on speakerphone. Jeez, man. AEW is able to integrate humor in exceptionally well. I think that's something that NXT is missing because we just have Robert Stone over there. Oh, man. Matt Hardy comes to the ring and he goes on for a while about how he wanted to do the Matt Hardy multiverse, but it seems like AEW just wants him to focus on being himself and he wants to help people. He puts over Private Party, but then says he wanted to help Sammy, but Sammy didn't want his help. And Sammy comes out and tries attacking him and ends up putting Hardy on a table. And there was a very ill-advised spot here. Sammy Guevara, quite frankly, recklessly threw a chair that busted open Matt Hardy big time. From what I understand, Matt Hardy was upset about this backstage, about how unsafe this was, and ended up getting, I think, 13 stitches in his head as a result. Like, my wife watches these shows with me, and she audibly gasped. I didn't realize how bad it was, and then I saw it. And the thing is, Guevara hit an incredible, like, twisting 630 type of move through a table. Here's the thing. I get why Matt Hardy's upset. He should be upset. Sammy was reckless in that spot. Without a doubt, Sammy Guevara was reckless in that spot. That spot will also add a significant amount of heat to that match. To the point, this should happen at All Out. Sammy should win. But it's going to add so much more heat to that match. So there's good and bad with it, obviously. Dark Order lose to Cody and Matt Cardona. This match is fine. This is 80% Cody getting worked over. Whatever. Matt Cardona wins with it was the Rough Rider. Now it's Radio Silence. This was a match. Reynolds and Silver looked really good in this match. And Ryder looks like $1 million, and here's the thing, you got a lot of people that are like, oh, look at Zack Ryder, he's gotta be on the juice, he's so big, oh my god. Guys, I don't think this is a secret, a lot of the wrestlers in AEW are on the smaller side in comparison to WWE. Zack Ryder, in WWE, years ago, was billed at 6'2", 225. That is a UFC heavyweight. He is a big man. He is a very, very big man in comparison to like the 5'6 John Silver. As I mentioned last week. Jesus, man. Scorpio Sky approaches Cody Rhodes in the tunnel. Scorpio Sky said on AEW Dark this week that even though he's winning on Dark and he's proud of his wins on Dark, that he wanted to step out, he wanted to do more. It was time for a push for him, and I'm completely there. He's talked about how he deserves better, and he does. He does deserve better. He is going to be a big star, and man, that's the benefit of AEW. They've got some of these experienced guys who are in their mid to late 30s even that haven't had their extended runs. So if they get a good run for a couple of years, AEW gets their use out of them. I'm all for it. All for it. Oh, the debate. Jesus Christ. So, Eric Bischoff comes out and serves the moderator, and I gotta say, he was fantastic in this role. That's always the rap. Eric Bischoff, a fantastic performer. This was no different. Jericho comes out there in a suit, Orange Cassidy wearing his same old shit. Jericho has set this up just basically to clown Orange Cassidy, and Orange Cassidy doesn't answer anything. And for some reason, Eric Bischoff asks Orange Cassidy and Jericho about the rising sea levels due to global warming, and Orange Cassidy fires off like a Will Ferrell old school answer. It was a great reference if you guys have ever seen that movie. It was fantastic. It was really, really great. And then Jericho at the end was like trying to wrap things up, and Orange Cassidy cut a really awesome promo. And he was like, Chris, I see what you're doing here. You challenged a guy who doesn't talk to a debate because you wanted to embarrass me, but I'm not embarrassed. I don't care. And next week is the biggest match of my career, but it's going to be the biggest of yours too. Because after all the things that you've accomplished, things that we can Google later, great line, how bad is it going to make you look to lose to somebody who doesn't care? How bad is it going to make you look to lose to Orange Cassidy? this was really, really fantastic stuff. And we're starting to see the range out of Orange Cassidy. It is a shame we do not have crowds right now because this guy is so great. Eric Bischoff awards Orange Cassidy the debate. Knocked it out of the park. Every single one of them knocked it out of the park. Outstanding stuff. Outstanding stuff from Jericho, from Orange Cassidy, from Eric Bischoff. An amazing segment. We got MJF backstage with Wardlow. They're at their campaign headquarters. And he's like trashing Lee Johnson for not leveling a poster. And he's getting fake poll results from a lady that's there. And he asks her to smile. Like little subtle heel stuff like that. That's a good one. Like, asking a woman to smile, if you haven't noticed, pisses plenty of people off. Tony Schiavone interviews Dr. Britt Baker, and she has chosen Big Swole's opponent, and it's Reba. Now, here's the thing. At this point, I don't have any goddamn clue if her in-ring name is Rebel or Reba. I really don't know. And Rebel is a semi-active wrestler. She wrestled a couple matches earlier this year. Like I think in the Bahamas, even. She wrestled, I want to say, a few times last year. She wrestled in NXT last year. So, I mean, that's kind of amazing that she has wrestled televised matches. This year for AEW, last year for NXT, 2018 for Impact. 2017 for Impact, I think 2016 and 2000, maybe 2015 for TNA, 2014 for TNA. So she has wrestled televised matches every year since 2014, which is incredibly impressive. Doesn't have a wealth of experience, and there were some iffy spots here. The suplex, iffy, but I don't know if it was supposed to look iffy or not. And then she missed a moonsault. And Swole hit her with an elbow, roaring elbow, the Dirty Dancing. I thought a fun spot. Moxley cut a really great promo about how he didn't want to be the guy that breaks Darby Allin's neck, and he wanted Darby Allin to stay down when it was time to stay down. And he did not. Every single thing that Darby Allin does in the ring looks like it hurts. Looks like it hurts him, too. And I'm okay with that. He's got, like, that kind of build that you feel like he's the arrow that gets shot from the crossbow, so to speak. And Moxley tried to pin him with the cradle pile driver. Didn't work. Ends up putting him away right after with the paradigm shift. God damn, this is good. Moxley ended up busted open, too. Another great world championship match. And I love this. I love that these two guys can go in there and have a world title match that headlines an episode of AEW Dynamite. And I know who's going to win. And I still want to watch the match. I'm still interested. I'm still there for it. I'm still glued to my TV set or whatever the hell device I'm going to watch it on. This is what I want. I just want to be entertained. This is like so much of what I wish a WWE Raw or SmackDown was. Oh, man. And don't get me wrong. NXT ruled as well. NXT was unbelievably good tonight. But AEW, man, every single week it seems like they're knocking it out of the park. Next week, we have Kenny Omega and Hangman Page against Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. It was not clarified if it's for the tag titles. Stu Grayson and Evil Uno of Dark Order take on the Young Bucks. This is Tag Team Appreciation Night. Rock and Roll Express and the Brainbusters, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, will be there. Cody will defend the AEW TNT Championship against Scorpio Sky. And then Chris Jericho versus Orange Cassidy in a $7,000 obligation match. So, you know what you know what can be expected out of next week's AEW, and I'm sure it's going to be a really great show. NXT, Rhea Ripley, Dakota Kai. Now I mentioned how the action got started right off the bat on AEW. It took a little bit longer for NXT, but this is a big match. And this big match delivered. I didn't necessarily think a lot of the dirty finish, so to speak, after such an incredible match. And this was a really incredible match. Dakota Kai's offense looked outstanding. The DDT counter out of Riptide, just unbelievable. A fantastic counter. Dakota Kai has turned it up in the ring to such an extreme degree. Electric chair on the apron was really great. And I could tell that something was going to happen out of the prism trap because of how Rhea Ripley had the grip on. She didn't have it double. She didn't have it like a double wrist lock style grip on it, a toe hold style grip on it. So I could kind of tell that was coming, but just awesome. Just awesome. The Scorpion kick is really good. Mercedes Martinez costs Rhea Ripley the match. And the Robert Stone brand says they're not done with Rhea Ripley. Bravo. Outstanding. And just, whew, this set the tone. This went up against a batshit crazy, guano crazy 12-man tag match, and they delivered. Bronson Reed defeated Shane Thorne. I guess Shane Thorne's back on NXT. Cool. Bronson Reed wins. It's like this backwards booking where they gave Bronson Reed the qualifier win, and now they're trying to let you know that he's worth paying attention to instead of the opposite. And I'm okay with that. If they want to switch it up, whatever. I bitch about formulaic booking all the time, so if they want to do something different, more power to them. Breezango are talking outside, and Legado del Fantasma drive up and abduct Fandango. Later on, they cut a promo in the ring. Breeze comes out to try to help, but they just beat his ass, and they tell Isaiah Scott to not speak their name. Okay, I'm not digging Legado del Fantasma yet. Maybe it's because of them working with Breezango. And here's the thing. Like, I'm all for a comedy act being serious. It's just the fact that they've been booked to not be serious as well. Like, New Day have been booked strong for years and years and years. Or at least a perception of strong and put in featured spots. Kofi got a world title run. Big E's a former Intercontinental Champion. They've got one of the most historic tag title reigns ever. Breezango doesn't have that, but they're very talented. Oh boy, Damian Priest, Oney Lorcan, Ridge Holland. First off, Ridge Holland had a really, really great debut. This is a qualifier for the ladder match. Damian Priest wins. He gets Ridge Holland with the South of Heaven and finishes Oney with the Reckoning, but everybody played their role right. Ridge Holland was this big sirloin beef sons of bitch and just did it well. I've seen Ridge Holland as Luke Menzies a few times on NXT UK. 6'1", 250. And back in the day, that's not a sirloin beef son's a bitch. Because 250, probably more like 230, 235 in reality. And here's the thing, man. I see him and I'm like, I believe it. I believe his offense. Like that modified pounce. And him not taking the pin, I'm okay with it. Because Oney Lorcan sold his ass off. He delivered great offense and made Damian Priest and Ridge Holland look great. And then Damian Priest wisely gets the win. I liked it. Liked everything about it. Keith Lee beats Cameron Grimes' ass. Cameron Grimes did the 7-minute stall, the old Larry Zbyszko special. He got a little bit of offense. But this is primarily Keith Lee beating the living shit out of Cameron Grimes. And this is what I want to see out of Keith Lee. I don't want to see him selling for 8 minutes out of a 10-minute match. I don't want to see that. And that's what they did with Damian Priest. And that's what they did with Big E last week. I don't need to see that. One of the good stories of this match was Cameron Grimes repeatedly escaping Keith Lee's finish. The collision course, Grimes hit the collision course rather, but he kept escaping Keith Lee's finish, and eventually Lee just destroys Grimes with a bunch of clotheslines and a spirit bomb. Karrion Kross shows up on the screen and says that since Regal isn't going to make the match and Lee won't make the match, they're going to do things the hard way. And he's laid out, like, I think Oney Lorcan, maybe Danny Burch, Drake Maverick, Dominik Dijakovic. Cool. But, I mean, they make Dominik Dijakovic look like a bitch there. He's not a bitch. We see several videos of Undisputed Era, Pat McAfee, stuff like that along the way. That's setting up the main event. But Tegan Nox defeated Indy Hartwell in a short match. It was fine. Imperium retained their NXT tag titles, defeating Undisputed Era. Kyle O'Reilly is so good, and I missed him. Marcel Barthel is getting so good. So good. I'm really digging him. This was a great match. Oh, Kyle O'Reilly throwing those strikes and the leg sweeps. He is so fast. He is so good. And he has been so missed. Damn, I'm glad this guy is back. Jesus Christ, am I glad this guy is back. So towards the end of the match, Pat McAfee is on commentary. And he makes a couple jokes. And Adam Cole comes over to him. They've had their little spat, their work spat on McAfee's show. McAfee's like, oh, I'm just joking around. And he calls Cole like an angry little elf. That does not sit well with Adam Cole. He goes after Pat McAfee. And Undisputed Era loses. But the shit's still going down. The shit is still going down with McAfee and Cole. And they got to be separated. And Cole needs to be separated. Cole is, quite frankly, has to be restrained. And I love the spot here, because while Cole is being restrained, Pat McAfee says, you're just going to be a short little tiny bitch. And Cole goes after him and is trying to get over the table to where he's laying over the table. Pat McAfee runs and punts Adam Cole in the head. Now, here's the thing. Pat McAfee was one of the best punters in the NFL as recently as a few years ago. I buy it. I like it. I'm all for it now. I think that Adam Cole probably sees the positive challenge in getting a good match out of Pat McAfee. I'm here for it. I liked it. So NXT had an awesome main event with an interesting angle. It had a good squash match with Tegan. It had a pretty good booked match with Keith Lee. An outstanding triple threat qualifier. The Bronson Reed squash, whatever, you got to do it. And an unreal opening match with Dakota Kai and Rhea Ripley. And I thought the right person went over there as well. Really good show. Really good show. We've got TakeOver XXX. It's got a song by Metallica, Moth in the Flame. They've got a nice little working relationship with Metallica now. But goddamn, I love Wednesdays, man. I love watching wrestling on Wednesdays. It doesn't feel like work when I'm watching wrestling on Wednesdays. And I can't say that's always the case. So, we have a few matches announced. NXT TakeOver, Dakota Kai, Io Shirai on August 22nd at NXT TakeOver XXX. By the way, AEW for the next week is moving to Thursday. The week after, it is moving to Saturday. And the week after, it is moving to Thursday so they can accommodate NBA basketball. We have a ladder match that now has Bronson Reed, Dexter Lumis, and Damian Priest. Next week's NXT, Damian Priest takes on Bronson Reed. We've got Karrion Kross against Danny Burch. And then there's another qualifier, Kushida, Cameron Grimes, and a mystery third opponent. AEW right now, blowing NXT out of the water as far as hype for that match for the next week's show goes. But the mystery opponent, okay, I'm here to see. I'm here to see all of you guys. Now, I got to tell you guys, the NXT AEW review will be different in the coming weeks. Next week, there will not be a Wednesday night review on Select. There will be an NXT review on Fightful.com. However, next Thursday night, I will bring you my review of AEW, but it will be on the main Fightful.com website. That will happen a couple times this month. This is sort of a bonus feature, as is on Fightful Select. So we're going to step up. We're going to bring this show live via video on Fightful.com on Thursday as the AEW post show. Thank you guys so much. We're out.